of the passengers, fasten your seat belts. We're about to take off now. Take off from all of your nonsense. Take it seriously now. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, Hagomel lechayavim tovot shegmalan mikol tov. He's so generous and so kind and so amazing. Not to leave us alone for a second. Not to let us fall to the power of imagination, even for a moment. The Creator got something so beautiful, so unique, that is waiting for every one of us. Everyone got a special gift. We know that when the Creator gave us the Shabbat, so He said, I have a huge, fantastic gift to give you. It's called Shabbat. It's coming from the world to come. And I was hiding it with me, protecting it, saving it just for you. It's Shabbat. Take it. And He gave it to all of our nation. So, when we're keeping Shabbat, we're all enjoying from the same gift. But what is unique in your Shabbat and different than mine? And what is unique in my Shabbat that is different than yours? It's not your house, it's not your food, because from your food, all of your family are eating. So it's not so unique, the piece of chicken that you took and someone else took the other. That's not what is unique in your Shabbat. What is unique in your Shabbat is your intention in Shabbat, is your feelings in Shabbat, is your emotions in Shabbat, is your attitude, it's your approach in Shabbat. This is what it makes your Shabbat to be unique, because Shabbat is Shabbat. Everyone are keeping Shabbat from times of candlelight after Tzeit Shabbat. We're keeping Shabbat. It's the same Shabbat basically. But you can make it different because it's your Shabbat. You're keeping that Shabbat. When you're going to shul and you pray and you have your intentions in the tefillah, then your tefillah will be answered. What that will be answered is not going to be only the words that you read from the Siddur, is also the intention of your heart. Like that we're saying in the end of the prayer, Yu le'atzon imrei pi, may you accept and going to want the words that came out of my mouth, and ve'hegyon libi, the logic of my heart, means my intention, lefanecha Hashem tzuri ve'geoli, in front of you, Hashem, that you are my Savior, that you're going to redeem me, going to save me. The intention of the heart is giving us the ability to say the same word hundreds and thousands of times, and every time to have a different intention. Like the Gemara is testifying on Esther HaMalka, that in Masechet Megillah, the Gemara is telling us on Esther HaMalka, I don't remember the verse, I don't remember, there's the song in Tehillim, the chapter in Tehillim that is Miyuchas, said by Esther HaMalka. And over there is a long discussion of Amoraim, of righteous people, that are explaining the meaning of Esther HaMalka while saying those verses from the Tehillim. And then the conclusion of the Gemara, after bringing all of their opinions on how to interpret, how to explain the verses, the conclusion is saying over there that it's true, all of those explanations are right, and more than that. When she was saying those verses, she was aiming to all of those intentions, and more than that. You can say to Hashem Yitbarach, now you want to pray. And you want to pray for a certain person that is sick. And you're about to stand Shmona Esrei, or prayer of Shmona Esrei. And you want to say to Hashem Yitbarach, Refa'enu Hashem v'nerafe. And suddenly while you're thinking, Refa'enu Hashem v'nerafe, heal us Hashem, and then we'll be healthy. Suddenly that friend of yours, that you know that he's not feeling so well in the last couple of months, he's coming into your thoughts, and you say, you know what? I'm going to think about him right now. And you say to Hashem Yitbarach, Refa'enu Hashem v'nerafe. Please, and your thoughts, you're aiming on your friend Moshe. Refa'enu Hashem, please heal Moshe. That's what you think in your mind. And then, After you thought about your friend Moshe, suddenly also Rivka came into your mind. And then you say to yourself, hey, maybe I'll pray for Rivka as well. So you can say, Refa'enu Hashem v'nerafeh, and aim your thoughts, your intentions, also on Rivka. And if you're going to continue aiming and thinking on other people, you can stand like that, unfortunately, for hours and hours and hours, and pray for all of our nation, for all of the sick people, for all of the children that needs health, that need to be cured, that you can pray for all of the... You can pray for every person in the world. You can pray for the wide world. And every time to use the same word, but the intention, the meaning of your heart, the logic of your heart, that is the thing that's going to make your prayer special, unique. That's your individual prayer. That is the unique light that the Creator planted inside of you. Because like that the verse is saying, like that the Gemara is saying, that like that their faces are different, also their opinions, their otem shonot, their wisdom is different, their talents are different. The faces is only an example that been used over there in that verse to show us that our inside are different. That's the main part. The main part of the person is his soul, is not his body. Just you can see the soul of the person by the wisdom of the face, through the face. But the face is not the thing. How hard we're working on our faces to look good, to sound good, to speak well, to fix ourselves, to look beautiful. And women have the worst yetzer on that thing, to look beautiful, to that everyone gonna give them compliments and whatever. And it's only an access to your soul. And if really your heart will shine, if really your soul will shine, you're not gonna need to take care of your face so much. To smile to everyone and to pretend to be happy. Just the light of happiness will glow out of your face. I remember that once I came to the yeshiva where I was learning. I woke up late. It's one of my gifts that I received from Hashem. Everyone, I told you, everyone got his gift. So I'm waking up late once a day. And I came late to the yeshiva, and the guys over there, the Rav, everyone, they almost finished their tefillah, and I was waiting outside, benachat, like I'm used to, and my own seder, and when they were about to finish their tefillah, so we all went to the tefillah, and I was very humble, like usual, because of the failures of the person, so he's humble. As much as Hashem is kind with you and He's failing you more, so He brings more humility into your life. So I was very humble that day, thank God. And the Rav gave a class, a shiur, after the prayer in Shabbat. And then when he went out from the Beit Midrash, so he saw me. I was standing on the top of the stairs and he looked at me and he said, "You have such a beautiful face." He said, "Yesh lecha panim yafot." That's how he looked at me. And he said, "Yesh lecha panim yafot. You have such a beautiful face." And then he said to everyone that were there, "The face is the proof of the heart. The face are showing the beauty of his heart." That's what he said to me. He said to me and to the people that were there, "Yesh lecha panim yafot, halev hapanim meidot al halev, yesh lecha lev yafeh." You have a beautiful heart. When you look into the heart of the person, you will see his beauty. When you stuck yourself in the face and you say, "Wow, such nice makeup," you don't see the face. Look at the face, look at the soul, look at the wisdom of the person, look at his talents, look at his qualities, his character, his manners, his behavior, how polite he is, how kind he is, how nice he is, how friendly he is. That's his beauty. Those are his real colors. Those are the colors that comes out to the world. And we need to believe in that beauty that lives inside of us, that that is the important part of us, that that is the main part of us. And we must reveal that. We must expose it. We must let it go out to the open space that everyone will see our spiritual beauty, because that's what we received from Hashem. how much time you can waste and spend on criticizing yourself on how that you look when you haven't created yourself at all and you cannot change it. There is nothing that you really can do to change how that you look. And mainly and especially when it's not important at all. We don't know what was the color of the skin of Avraham Avinu. We don't know what was the color of the hair of Sarah Imenu. We don't know how the sound of Rachel Imenu was sound. We don't know how tall was Rivka. We don't care also. Why? Because it's not important. What is important? That they were ready to throw themselves into the fire. That she was ready to sacrifice herself for her sister. That he was so generous that he opened his house. And that he was able to receive the rebukes of his wife. And he loved the rebukes and he listened to every word. And that he was so strong and powerful. And he went and respected his parents. And he was sacrificing himself and learning in the cave for 14 years. That's what is important. So why you care about your height? And your colors, and your size, and your weight, when it's not important. Because you let the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, to play foreign music in your mind, of Sheker Achen ve'Evel Ayofi, that all of the nonsense are important, instead of listening to the inner voice of the Creator, that is talking to you from your soul, that this is your real channel to reality, to the truth, to connect yourself to the Creator, to the voice of truth. It's an inner thing, it's not an external thing. No matter how many people are going to tell you that you are righteous, only you know if you were lying in that day or if you were honest in that day. Only you know if you had a bad desire or only a holy desire. Only you know the truth when someone rebukes you. Only you know if he's right or if he's completely wrong. Only you know the truth about yourself. It means that the only way for you to connect yourself to the truth means the Creator. That Hashem Elokechem Emet, his seal is a seal of truth. His name is truth. Is inner. Is through your inside. That's the only way to connect him. If someone will tell you, a huge righteous rabbi will tell you, you need to see it from sunrise till sunset and to finish 21 pages of Gemara with Rashi and Tosfot every day, and it will connect you to Hashem. And let's say that you will find that power and you will sit and learn. But if your will is not really over there, it's going to disconnect you instead of connecting. Even 21 full pages of Gemara with Rashi and Tosfot. Because if you don't want to do that, and you hate the fact that you must do that, it's going to reject you from the desire to do that again. And then in the next day, you're going to despise the idea of sitting and learning even one page of Gemara. Even one verse is going to sound not good for you. So for that, we must listen to our inner voice. That even if someone tells you 7 pages, dafayomi, a little bit, if you feel that that little bit is not healthy for you, at least for today, you must listen to your inner voice and to look for what that is inspiring you today in Avodat Hashem, not outside of Avodat Hashem. What can I do for you, Hashem, that I will feel that it's Avodat Hashem? Because if I will just try to imitate other people that are doing something and it's not going to inspire me, if I will not going to feel alive, happy, satisfied, I'm not going to continue doing it for a long time. I know myself. I know my nature. I know that I am doing the things that I like. And things that I'm doing, if I don't like them, I'm trying to find my fastest way out from them. To get rid of them, to avoid them, because that's me. And you need to count on yourself to believe that those senses and that wisdom and those way of feelings that you have inside of yourself are the tools that God is giving to you to use to understand the truth, to figure out the truth from the confusions that are going wild outside. Because there are so many options outside, so many opportunities for success. you can learn this and you can learn that and you can start with that and you can progress to that and you must learn a profession first and you must have your daily schedules of learning. In the morning you have to have Seder morning and you need to say the Tehillim and you must learn Mishnayot and you have to learn Halakha and it's all perfect and it's all good. The question is, am I able really to take all of that on my back when I know that I'm barely surviving? When I know that I'm still arguing with myself in my mind, that I know that I'm still afraid, that I know that I'm still terrified, that I know that I'm still struggling with fears and anxieties, when I'm not sure what's going to happen to me, and if I'm going to finish that month, and if I will be able to cover all of my expenses, when I'm still under those fears and that stress, am I really able to sit and to learn all day like those huge righteous people? I need to ask myself. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to learn, but at least I'm going to start with looking for what that is making me happy. Like the Torah is saying, Le'olam ilmad adam b'makom shelibo chafetz, that you must learn things that will wake your desire to learn more. Only things that will arouse you, that will wake you up, you need to learn those ones. If now you're finding yourself that to learn Shulchan Aruch, it's too hard for you, no one is saying not to learn Halakha. But maybe to sit in front of Shulchan Aruch right now is not the right thing for you. I saw in my eyes so many Avrechim that fell off the Derech, so many families that been destroyed only because trying to be too righteous. We saw a kid from our community a few years ago that he fell off the derech in a crazy way. And a friend of mine came to me and asked me, do you know why it happened to him? I asked him why. He said, because his parents wanted him to be a Rav Ovadia Yosef. That's the reason. And he was not able yet to deal with the huge will of his father to grow a genius in his house. Your kid, he wants to ride a bike. He wants to play soccer. He wants to play hide and seek with you. He wants to sit on the carpet in your living room and to build a puzzle with you, mommy. That's what he wants. And you need to give that to him. Because if you will not gonna give him what that is required for him in the early ages, stages, he will find himself in later times desiring to go back to his childhood. And then when he's 14, you won't understand why he wants to run all of the time and why he cannot sit. And when you will see him 17, you won't see him 17 actually. And that is the secret of faith. That's the secret of patience. To believe that the Creator, He will take care of your children, so you don't need to be so worried. You need to take off the stress. You need to love Him. You need to give Him from the basics, from the foundations that are so needed and required also for you. You cannot ask every person to be an athlete, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a Talmid Chacham, to be a genius, to be the Rebbetzin Sara Schneider. It cannot happen in every house, not with every child. There are children that have different nature and it doesn't make them to be less important and less beautiful and less great and less gorgeous. They're amazing. Not all of the animals supposed to look like the tiger or like the lion. Some of the animal can look like the elephant and like the cow and like the sheep and like the goat. And if the forest and the jungle and the savanna wouldn't be so colorful, so it wouldn't be so beautiful. If you would have only one species of Talmidei Chachamim, it wouldn't be as beautiful. You need to have people that will take care of the ducks, people that will take care of the dolphins, people that will take care of your gardens, people that will clean the streets. And if it's not you, so it will be someone else. So you need to accept him and to honor him. And if you're also not a genius and a Talmid Chacham, you also need to have the patience and the understanding for yourself that you can have a purpose and you can be righteous even if you're working in constructions, even if you're a lawyer, even if you're working as a plumber. when you will hear about a hidden righteous man that made all of the way from Poland to America 200 years ago, and he was working as a plumber, and he was hidden, and he was hiding his holiness, you will say to yourself, oh, that's that righteous man. No, no, no. That's that plumber. He was righteous. It's not that the righteous man was hiding his righteousness in the plumber, in the job to be a plumber. In, how do you say it? Plumbing? It's not that. He was just very simple. And that was his job. That's how he was making his living. And you can be righteous and pure and holy and serve Hashem no matter where you are, because Hashem is everywhere. Just you need to open yourself to that and to let Hashem Yitbarach in into your life. And you don't need to change your life to become righteous, that Hashem will love you, because the love of the Creator to His children is an unconditional love. Love that is not dependent on your actions. Even when your boy is misbehaving, you still love him. Maybe you want to help him. Maybe you don't like the way that he behaves. But the child himself, you love. When the baby is not clean and the mother, she needs to clean him, needs to wash him, she's separating between the waste, the filth, to the baby. It's two separate things. She won't be disgusted from her baby now because he's filthy, because he's not clean. She will remove the filth and gonna take the baby, like we're blessing, al netilat yadayim, that we're taking away the hands from the impurity, from the contamination. Netilah, it's to take. We're taking away the hands from the impure water. We wash the contamination off our hands, and now we're taking our hands back. Which hands? The pure hands. So now after you wash your hands, after you did tshuva, you need to believe that you are pure now. After you learn Torah, you need to work on your self-esteem, to appreciate yourself, to see your beauty. If you were nice right now, so you were nice. So it's higher than charity. And if you now gave $10 to charity, so tzedakah tatzil mimavet, so you saved someone's life with the merit of your charity. And you need to appreciate the fact that you even gave 10 cents for charity, because 10 cents in the world to come counts as charity. Even 10 cents is charity. And it's written that charity saves from death. So maybe it's not such a huge death, but maybe you saved the butterfly. Maybe you saved the porcupine or squirrel. Maybe you did something good. Maybe you saved some person in India from falling off the cliff. Maybe. And you don't know that. When you're going to know that? In the world to come. Because in this world we cannot see the reward that will come in the world to come, but we need to believe in its existence. So when you put a coin for charity, you must appreciate the mercy of the Creator to give you the opportunity to save life now. Even a tiny coin counts as charity. How many lives you saved until today? You don't believe. That's your problem. You don't go with those success. You don't go with those positive good points. You don't go with the mercy, with the kindness, with the godliness, with the divine loving kindness of the Creator to all of us. That the Torah is telling you that if you wear tzitzit, it's like you kept all Torah mitzvot. Can you understand the meaning of what no one can understand? Righteous people that you saw, that you see them going with their face glowing and shining, it's because they understand what's going on in this world a little bit. Because really no one can understand fully what the Hashem Yitbarach is doing here. But as much as we're going to recognize the mercy and the kindness and the love and the grace and the beauty and the generosity and the pure truth of the Creator, how much He is good with us, how much He is kind with us, how much He loves us, how much He gives to us. I was never disappointed from Hashem Yitbarach when I was praying to him before. But when I was not praying, many, many times Hashem Yitbarach stopped me from being saved. But that was his biggest mercy of them all. Not to give you something until you're going to pray for that thing, it's mercy. It's an act of mercy. If your child is not polite and he don't know how to ask, please, and he don't know how to say thank you, so not to give him the food until he will ask it, and to ask him to say thank you in the end, it's mercy, it's education. That's the right way. You must do that. Because if you're not going to do that, he will never going to learn how to say thank you and please and I'm sorry. He needs to learn it in a certain way. So you must educate him. So the Creator, he is blocking us many, many times, as hard as it is for him to block us. Because it's very hard for a father, for a mother to hold their kids behind, to tell them no, to stop them, not to give them. Whatever they want from you, you give. My father gave me a bike when I was 16. It was the worst mistake, but he couldn't stop himself, even though that he knew me that it's a lethal weapon to give me when I was 16 a bike. Less dangerous was to give me a gun when I was 16. But he couldn't stop himself from giving me that bike because I wanted it and I was asking for it and I begged him and he knew that it's wrong and he gave me. And we both paid for it in hospital. We were spending many, many days over there. But he gave me because a father really cannot stop himself from giving to his children. It's a huge sorrow for a parent to stop his children, not to give them what they want. So we need to appreciate our Father on holding us back, on holding our salvations back until we will really build the vessels to contain those blessings. Because if you will receive something without a vessel, it's going to disgrace you. It's going to humiliate you. It's going to be a shame for you to have that. You can get married and then divorce after 1 year. You can have children and beat them up and hate your life with them. In a fancy house with no mortgage. And you can feel life, live life of sorrow, of disgrace, hating your mornings, going with tearing eyes every night to sleep, like the sun set in the middle of the noon. Because you don't have the vessel to contain the blessing. If now you're thirsty and someone will come and pour water all over you, going to wash you, it's going to be a disgrace. It's not what you asked for. When you ask for water, you ask for someone to pour water into your cup, into your glass. You're not asking to pour water on your face. When you ask for Hashem Yitbarach to get married, to have children, to have an income, to have honorable life, you're asking it to come into your vessels. And what do you want from the Creator when your vessels are tiny? When our vessels are tiny, the Creator cannot give it to us. So He's revealing His loving kindness on us by holding the salvations back still until we will build a stable, strong vessel to contain spiritual bounty. The success of our lives. The vessel is our humility, is our faith, is our prayers. When you pray to Hashem Yitbarach, you build vessels. The light that is coming down to the world is an endless, simple light. Eternal light that comes in a simple, bright light. And if you pray, so the letters and the words are the vessels to contain the bounty. And if you will put vessels in shapes, so the water, the bounty, the light that will fill those vessels will receive the shape of the vessel, like the water. That if you will put a small cup, it will take that shape. And if it's a big, it will receive that shape. If it's a square or a circle or a bowl another shape, triangle, it will receive the size and the shape of the vessel. So when you pray for a certain subject, you bring certain words into that place. If you pray for Shalom Bayit, for peace in the house, so you bring vessels that the light that will fill those vessels will create Shalom Bayit, peace in your house. When you pray for money, for Parnasa, you will pray different prayers. You will mention different words that will contain the bounty in a different shape. And then money will flow into your life and you will have Parnasa. And when you want the truth, and you want to learn Torah, and you want to get stronger in prayer, if you will pray for those things, you will build vessels to contain the light in that shape. And it will enter into your life. And if you see your friend that he's not able to build those vessels for himself, and you will pray for him, it's like to put those vessels in front of his house. And he will enjoy the bounty from your prayers, because you ask for his salvations. And also, if you will pray for him and you need the same salvation, you will be answered first. Because the Creator is so kind that he just looked for ways how to give you the salvation. And you just need to open your hands and to receive. To open your hands like it's written, Vayi Yadav Emunah, that the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu were open with faith, they were filled with faith, and the Targum over there is writing, Perisan Betzlo, he opened them in prayer. Hands that are praying to Hashem are hands of faith. Those are the hands that contains the bounty. When you open your hands like that in the air, you receive the bounty. When you pray to Hashem Yitbarach, you reveal your faith and your trust in Hashem. And that's how you can pull bounty into your life. But for that we must pray. We have many ways to pray. There are prayers that are written and there are individual prayers, conversations between you to the Creator. No matter how much you're going to work to set your mind with the right intention, it's very hard to aim, to open your heart and really to put your heart and your holy desires into the words that are written in the Siddur, in the Tehillim. Even though that those words can be very inspiring, very powerful, been written by very righteous people, for us today to focus our mind and to bring the troubles, the sorrow of our life into those verses, into those blessings, it can be very, very hard. Especially to people like us that after 20 minutes in the Beit Knesset, we can hear a person that looks at us and says quietly, "You're holding the Siddur upside down." It can be very hard for us to put our heart into the prayer. So for that, the Creator gave us another gift. And it's a higher gift. The prayers that are written in the Siddur, it's mitzvat hatfilah miderabanan. When you read those prayers, you're praying by the commandment, by that advice of the righteous people that commanded us to pray. Shacharit, mincha, arvit, tikkun chatzot, all of the blessings, the brachot, all birkat hamazon, and all of the things that are written that we should say are things that have been said for us by Rabbanan. But there is a higher aspect of prayer, and it calls mitzvat hatefilah mideoraita, from the Bible. What did the Creator himself commanded us? Open the Rambam HaKadosh, open the Shulchan Aruch, and learn that halakha of prayer of tefilah. What is the commandment? What we need to do? And over there you will see that the Creator is telling you, hitbodedu. Don't say that out loud. Hitbodedut. Rabbi Nachman of Breslev, the Breslever Meshuga Chusid, that is not allowed to talk about him in no Bet Midrash, and for sure not in Bet Knesset, and not even in the darkest alleys of Flatbush, I call that place. You're not allowed to mention his name in public. He was just talking about Mitzvah Tatfilah Mideoraita. Hitbodedut is a name that's been used by many righteous people to define, to wake us up, to understand that we just need to be alone with Hashem and to talk. It's not Hasidut. It's mitzvat ha-tfilah mideoraita. It's Torah that is written that we received from Moshe in Mount Sinai. Avraham Avinu, every day he was going and standing in front of Hashem and talking to him like a child that is talking, speaking to his father. Yaakov, Yitzchak found that it's not enough for him to speak every morning, so he went every noon time to afternoon to speak in the field. Va'etzei Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. And Yaakov, for him, he had more troubles than both of his ancestors before, so he had to go even at night to scream to Hashem Yitbarach. Us with one wife, we're going out of our minds. He had two or four wives. You know what happened to him? Can you imagine four wives in the same house? No, come on. You cannot handle that. This is why he went, and he went and made Ma'ariv, and he went and Tikkun Chatzot. The Baba Sali said, Baba Sali, in his days, for him, because they had a tradition, they were allowed to marry few women and not only one, because they had their tradition. For us, it's a prohibition, we're not allowed. Thank God, Hashem is very merciful, because we cannot. You cannot give love that will be enough. You cannot even give enough love to your wife. You need to work so hard on that. So to think about, it's not even an option. It's not possible for us. The Baba Sali said, if you want to marry few women, so for sure don't marry two. Marry or one, or three, or four, or five. With two, for sure you won't succeed. It's not an option. To have two women in the same house, it's like you can lose your mind. It's not an option. They're poor women, they're going to fight all day long. It's not an option. We need to understand that thing. We need to understand that the gift that God gave us is the gift of honesty, the gift of purity, to aim our heart to the Creator and to express it, to speak to the Creator like you talk to your best friend, to open your mouth and the illuminating words will come out of your mouth. Ptach picha v'yairu dvarecha ha-meirim. And we must do that. And to pray that prayer mideoraita, to talk to Hashem Yitbarach, to tell Him all of our heart, to tell Him all of our emotions, all of our fears, all of what that we desire and that we need, and to confess and to apologize on our mistakes, and to open our heart and to share and to tell. And an honest prayer like that will be answered. Like that it's written, Karov Hashem lechol korav, lechol asher yikreu be'emet. That Hashem is close to everyone that will call Him with truth. You don't need to be righteous to call Hashem with truth. You just need to open your mouth and to tell Him what that you feel, what that you need, what that you're afraid of. And just to be honest with yourself and to open yourself to Hashem. And if you will count on Hashem, kindness is going to surround you. You will see so many miracles that will happen to you. I don't remember once in my life that I prayed for something and I wasn't answered. Maybe if I wasn't praying enough. And then I had to go. Chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem. To hope again. To yearn some more. To ask again. To humble yourself a little bit again. And to beg and to pray and to ask. Until you will be answered. But we have that promise from Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa that said, that kol ha-ma'arich b'tfilato en tefilato chozeret rekam. That there is no one person that will have long prayers on one issue that he will come back empty-handed. It's not going to happen. It's a rule of the Torah. It's a rule of the Creator. That the Creator, He is answering prayers. And He's answering prayers of our nation with mercy. Means even if we're not worthy. That's the meaning of the word mercy. That even when you're not worthy, even when you're not worthy, the Creator is with you. And He will answer your prayers. And He will help you to achieve whatever you need to achieve. Why? Because you're His child. Because He loves you in unconditional love. But as long as you're not talking to Him, what do you want Him to do? To give you things without faith, it's to damage you and not to build you. To give you salvations when you're not humble, when you're arrogant, when you're not praying. So then you're going to take it all to your pride. You're going to think, oh, I'm so successful. Look how much money I have. Look how I look good, how I'm talking. And then you just lost everything that you received. In the end, kol ha-mitga'e chochmato mistalaket mimeno. If you are arrogant with what that you received, so that wisdom will disappear away, gonna go away from you. When we're praying, we're saying, Borei Olam, ata chonen la'adam da'at. You're the one that gives the wisdom to the man, to the person. Chonen u'meitcha chochma bina v'da'at. Give us the wisdom from you. You're the one that gives the wisdom. I'm asking myself, why we need to mention the fact that he is giving the wisdom twice in that verse? We're saying to Hashem, chonenu, give it to us, meitcha, from you. Why we need to repeat it? If we already said chonenu, means we're asking you to give it to us. So why now we need to say meitcha, from you? We already said give it to us, means that it belongs to you. So why to mention that it's from you? So the answer that Hashem gave me is that we're asking from Hashem Yitbarach to give us that wisdom that we're going to remember that it's from you. Chonenu meitcha. Give us that knowledge that our wisdom is from you. And it's not our wisdom. It not belongs to me. You gave me the wisdom, so I was wise. Not because that I'm talented and gifted. Not because that I'm wise. Just because that you gave me the wisdom. When you have money, you need to remember. Like we're reminding ourselves every day. When we're doing Birkat HaMazon, where we're putting our hands and saying Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, we're all of the brachot that we're saying, you Hashem, you are bringing the fruits, you're creating the fruits from the ground, from the trees. Why are we mentioning it? That a person will not forget. That a person will not imagine to himself, no, I was working, I bought my apples, I paid my miser money, I bought it for my own money, now it's mine, it's not yours. You need to remember that even when it's yours, it's a free gift from the Creator. This is why you're obligated to remind yourself that He is Borei Peri Ha'etz, the Creator. Without Him, you wouldn't have no apples. Without Him, you wouldn't have no bread. Even if you planted and you seed and you harvest and you worked and labor for the summer and the winter and you sweat, when you put your 10 fingers on the bread, on the challah, you're going to say 10 words that are going to remind you that your fingers were working under the blessing of Hashem. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. To remind you that Hashem, He gave you that kind grace, gift, that beautiful act of grace, of chesed, to reveal His love to you. The only obligation that we have is to remember Him. No matter what you do in life, you need to go with Hashem. Bechol derachecha da'ehu. In all ways of life, you need to know Him. We received 10 commandments from Hashem in Mount Sinai. 2 of them we heard from the mouth of Hashem. And the rest of the 10, the other 8, we heard from Moshe. First 2 that Hashem told us, the first one is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm your God, I love you, I'm here with you. And the second one is, Lo yelecha elokim acherim al panai. Please don't walk away from me. Don't worship idols. That is the message that Hashem Yitbarach is telling us. When He is so excited, when He is so thrilled, to speak to His nation in the first time, to reveal Himself, to speak out His heart, to tell us what He feels, He is saying, I love you, I'm here for you, don't go away. That's it. That's the message. With that we need to serve. With that love, with that unbelievable love, with that endless love, unconditional love, of a father to his children. And when you see that He loves you, like we're saying to ourselves, Ahavat Olam, Ahavtanu, you love us, Ahava Rabba Ahavtanu, eternal love, great love, you love us. When we know that, we prepared ourselves
to love Hashem. Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. You cannot love Hashem until you will know that Hashem, He loves you. So we need to understand that we are unique and special and important in the eyes of the Creator. And for that we must express and uncover and reveal the light of our souls and to be who that He created us to be. To use the gift that He gave us, the talents that He planted inside of us. The talents, the wisdom, the opinion, the feelings, the emotions, the sensitivity. To go and to be who that we are in the world. And not to be afraid of no one. Lo taguru mipnei ish. You want to respect your parents? It's one thing. To be afraid of them? It's wrong. You want to respect and love your rabbi? Do that. To be afraid of him? It's wrong. You want to love your husband, you want to love your wife, you want to love your friend, you want to respect your people, it's one thing. To be afraid of them, it's wrong. That's not the right approach. That's not the right attitude. So learn how to communicate. Learn how to be gentle, how to be polite, how to discuss things, how to open yourself and to be open, and to share and to talk, and also to hear and to accept other people's opinion before of closing yourself automatically and hate the opinions that are forcing you to deal with your reality, with your lack of confidence, with your lack of happiness. It's written on the commandments that they've been heard in two voices. Shamor v'zachor bedibur echad ne'emru, right? Shamor v'zachor, two voices. Shamor v'zachor. You can hear two voices at the same time. It's Pi Hashem Adover Alechem. It's the mouth of Hashem that He's talking to you. May Hashem bless us all in complete faith to recognize and to see the supervision of Hashem in our life, to appreciate our own feelings and our own thoughts, to listen to our inner voice, that we're all going to have the power to feel the Creator, that He lives inside of us like that it's written, that after we built the first temple and the second temple, from that day and on, God lives inside of us. That we will be aware to our godliness, to our part of heaven that lives inside of us, and that the Creator will accept all of our prayers and requests and answer to them, and will heal and support and build and reveal His loving kindness on all of us and all of our beloved ones. Amen, ken yehi ratzon. Thank you very much. Chazak uvaruch.
In this world, in this period of time, we have a mission. What's the mission? The mission is only not to forget the Creator, to remember that it's all Him, never to fall in the trap of all of those coverings, of all of those husks.